Oh, I'll sweep.
Vince, I told you never to show your giant fist around here again.
Well, that's what I've come to tell you. I'm not jealous anymore, Twinkle Toes. I'm in group therapy with a bunch of Italian guys.
You did all that just for me, Stud Muffin?
Stud Muffin?
Look, you only call me that when you want to.
Shut up and go get the mood music.
The LP of the 45.
The LP.
All right.
Two kids suck.
Hey, you guys.
And welcome back to Sloth Love Chunk, your favorite Goonies superfan podcast. I'm Ants.
I'm Matt.
And this week on Sloth Love Chunk, it's lucky number 11. Is that lucky? I feel like 2-1s is a lucky number.
Is it?
I would think
Isn't
so.
Isn't it like 11-11 lucky?
11-11
on the clock, yeah.
Well, then 11 should just be lucky,
double luck,
I guess. Anyway, we are going to celebrate the life and career of the notorious yet kind of lovable Ma Fratelli and Ramsey. But before we get started with our discussion, just a reminder that you guys can find us and all of our previous episodes at slothlovechunk.com. You can visit us on Instagram at slothlovechunk_podcast. I've been saying slothlovechunk pod for 10 episodes.
And have I just realized,
yeah, but whatever. People can find it.
I mean, that's a truncation. Everyone, is that a common, hey man, check out my pod?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
slothlovechunk_podcast. Can't miss it. Yeah. Or you can email us at goondocs at slothlovechunk.com, or, you know, Matthew specifically at Matt at slothlovechunk.com.
That's right.
Get ready for the Russian bots to invade your inbox, Matthew. Don't forget to stick around to the end where Matthew and I will take the Goonies oath, and you
will swear you in
as well. Can take the Goonies oath and become an official Goonie. All right. With that out of the way, Maddie.
Yes.
I think it's time to throw it into four-wheel drive and hold on to our hats.
Listen to your mama, boys.
All right, Maddie. Give me the lowdown.
And Ramsey was actually born, and this is, as we were just discussing right before we started recording, how hard it was to figure this out. She was actually born Angelina Mobley. Or Mobley.
Mobley?
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 I'm going to say Mobley because, you know, the Fratelli's kind of like the mob.
Oh, yeah, Mobley. That's a good. Okay, yeah. All right, you convinced me with that.
See? Yeah, she was born
March 27th, 1929. Yeah,
for some reason, I have May 27th down here.
That's because you don't know
March 27th, 1929. And she lived to the ripe old age of 59. I didn't know. I thought she was older than that.
She looks older than that.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, she lived kind of rough, you know?
Yeah. She was born in Omaha, Nebraska. Her mom was the treasurer of the Girl Scouts, the national treasurer of the Girl Scouts, not like your state or local. And her dad was just like an insurance guy.
But he was an insurance executive. He was Mr. Moneybags.
Oh.
What was also cool is that Angelina Mobley's mother, the treasurer of the Girl Scouts, she was a direct descendant of a pilgrim.
Yeah.
So I guess we got to thank Ma Fratelli for Thanksgiving.
William Brewster was his name. He was an English official, and he was the Mayfair passenger in 1620. And when I was looking him up, he was from a place, and this sounds like when you go online to get a fake name. Have you ever tried that, like for an RPG or something, like a name generator?
What? Just like a rap name generator? What's your rap?
Yeah. Name? So then where this guy was born, I just thought it was funny, is Scrooby Nottinghamshire. And that's totally what would spit out if you did like a rap name.
Scrooby is kind of like, that sounds like a cool rap name.
Yeah.
Sounds like a white guy.
Yeah. And he was, that dude was the leader of the, Plymouth people. The Plymouth colony. See, he's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's got to be pretty neat to say that you're a descendant of pilgrims.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say that.
So Anne grew up. She was a Richie Rich. And she attended like all the prestigious schools. And she ended up going to Bennington College in Vermont, where she studied theater and drama. Mm-hmm. And she graduated in 1951. My dad wasn't even born yet.
Jeez.
After she graduated college, she was doing small local theater in Maine at the Surrey Theater. And that is where she met her future husband, her husband for life, mm-hmm. Logan Ramsey. And the pair married in 1954. No kids, which is interesting. And they appeared on screen a lot together. They were always like a married couple on screen. Even like her very last roles, he's there on the screen with her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like Scrooge. Watch Scrooge. Scrooge was actually released posthumously mm-hmm. after she had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays like a homeless lady.
Yeah.
And her husband's right there with her. And he's
That's him. Wow.
Yeah,
I read. I went to Wiki and I saw they were in 7 films together.
But they're like in 10.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe they appeared together on screen 10 times because he was mm-hmm. even in a lot of her television appearances. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
As always.
Yeah. So she was in a bunch of plays off Broadway, on Broadway.
They had been acting in theater for a long time. They actually moved to Philadelphia. They started a theater troupe.
Huh.
Yeah, so what's actually like a cool little Goonies connection is that her husband had cast Barbara Streisand in a summer theater production. Barbara Streisand was playing Anne's maid in this production. And then, you know, of course, later on, Streisand becomes Josh Brolin's stepmother in real life.
Are you kidding?
Well, yeah.
I had no idea.
You didn't know Barbara Streisand's married to Josh Brolin's dad?
No.
Oh, my God, dude.
Well, his dad's not a Goonie, so why would I care about that?
Well, it's still like a connection, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, and Anne and Babs,
mm-hmm.
they appeared together on screen in 1974 For Pete's Sake.
When I watched that clip, it took me a while to realize that that's Anne Ramsey, because she didn't have her signature gravelly voice or speech impediment at that time.
She had a gravelly voice before her speech impediments because she was a lifelong smoker.
Yeah, but so. Still, in that scene, if you watch that scene, she plays like a telephone operator or something that Streisand's complaining to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of odd to hear her talk without.
That's one extreme. Of the rare roles where she wasn't acting as like a curmudgeon, you know,
right.
Or an angry lady. Basically, yeah. Anne Ramsey was a character actor. Who mm-hmm. was typecast as either angry, old, ugly lady.
Yeah.
Right? Where her character was either the butt of like ugly jokes or fat jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Or she was cast as like nurses mm-hmm. or nuns. But it was mainly angry old lady.
Yeah. There was a term that they use in an interview. She was speaking about Throw Mama from the Train. I had never heard of this lady. I guess she had a talk show. But she was on there. She was talking about that her family would be surprised by her character on Throw Mama from the Train. That she's known as just a sweet lady to her friends and family.
Yeah.
It's actually a departure from her actual character to be curmudgeonly or
Well, you know, she's a great actress, bro.
Yeah. So
nice old lady can play mean old lady. Easy.
I think the term is Herodin. I'd never heard that term before, but that's what they call her.
You're like a walking thesaurus, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So she did a lot of TV too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of her roles were kind of the same.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Like, that's really the only role she ever played. And a lot of her roles were just like one liners.
Yeah.
You know? It had to have been hard to make a living doing that. But her husband as well was a character actor as well. So between the two of them,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess they got enough work, right? So she made her big screen debut in 1974. Mm-hmm. So she'd been doing theater for probably 20 years before she was on the big screen, mm-hmm. you know? And then 10 years later, 1984, The Goonies.
Is that the same year where she was diagnosed with her esophageal cancer? I wanted to say that it was.
Once again, getting ahead. But yes, Matthew.
Okay.
After she finished filming, because The Goonies was filmed in 84, released mm-hmm. in 85. After she had finished filming, that's when she was diagnosed.
Okay.
Yeah. But before we get to that, let's talk about Mama Fratelli. Once again, the greatest role. Just like with John Matuszak, right?
Yes.
The guy did a lot of roles, but his greatest mm-hmm. role was with The Goonies.
That's right.
Now, I know a lot of people are going to say Throw Mama from the Train is Ann Ramsey's greatest role. I think that's probably her most critically acclaimed role.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I feel like Ma Fratelli is a much more like fleshed out and nuanced character
mm-hmm.
than Mrs. Lift.
Yeah, Mrs. Lift. She's just basically just berating her Owen the whole time of the movie.
Yeah, it's like one tone or one,
mm-hmm. you know? One note, yeah.
Owen! You know?
You're so fat. Yeah, she's mean.
Yeah. But man, when she played, but Ma Fratelli, she killed it yet again.
She actually won a Saturn Award for that.
Yep.
Saturn Award is I wasn't aware until I looked this up, but I get it's the Academy for science fiction, horror, and like fantasy movies.
Would you call The Goonies a fantasy movie?
Yes.
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the elements.
But it's real. Right?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there really was pirate ships. And
Yeah. So maybe it's not so fantastical.
Do you know who she beat out for that award, Anthony?
For her Saturn for Goonies?
Yeah.
No. I have no idea.
Ooh, you didn't look that up? She beat Grace Jones in A View to a Kill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that? She was
Grace Jones kind of. Yeah, she kind of freaked me out in that role.
Yeah.
She was just so like
aggressive.
Like, yeah, you know, but how she's so like tall and like lanky, but in the way she would move and stuff, she almost seemed like a robot.
Didn't she blow herself up in that movie?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, she's like on one of those train handcart things. Anywho, and then you'll be super surprised by the other person that she beat. What was your favorite movie that year that came out? You don't remember your best movie?
Oh, Back to the Future?
Yeah, your second best, I should say. Best supporting actress. Who do you think she beat?
Give it to me.
Leah Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
She beat Leah Thompson, a young starlet, up and coming. And Ann Ramsey wiped the floor with her. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ma Fratelli was definitely her biggest role. You know?
Yeah.
Her most lines, her most screen time.
Uh-huh.
She got to whip it all out.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, of course, playing the angry old lady, which is probably how she got cast in the first place. But it was nuanced, you know, even when she's showing affection towards Sloth
mm-hmm.
towards the end of the movie. Like, Mama, you've been bad. Oh, Slothy, baby. Come to Mama.
I only dropped you once.
Yeah, you know, and like you kind of feel for her, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is her baby.
And then that jerk Steph punches her in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, so what are the Goonies fun stories we got with Ann Ramsey? Oh, whenever she slaps Jake, Robert Dobby, those are real slaps.
Was it?
Yeah. I was watching the movie. I never realized this stuff when you're watching it, but then when you got to research everything, you start really paying attention.
Yeah.
She only slaps Jake. She never slaps Francis. It's always Jake that she kicks his ass.
I wonder if is there anything in the script that gives any kind of reason
favoritism towards?
Yeah.
No.
Well, there has to be a reason.
Yeah. I even tried to find what Ma's first name was, and everything I looked at, like whether it's the novelization or like the souvenir guide or the screenplay, they never give Ma Fratelli's first name.
Huh.
She's
Ma Fratelli?
Ma or Mama. Isn't that also crazy that her two biggest roles?
Yeah.
She's basically Mama. That's her name is Mama or Ma.
Yeah. In that interview I was telling you about, that lady asks her, well, she constantly refers to as Mama in that role. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's Ma or Mama.
And she never had kids.
Yeah. Kids suck.
Kids suck.
Dude, I always tell that to my kids.
Do you?
I've probably given him a complex by now. Go ahead.
What was her break into television?
Oh man, I don't know.
She had a lot of bit roles.
She was in everything. She was in like Knight Rider. She was in Alf. She was one of her last roles actually was in Alf. Talk about that later.
Wasn't she in Star Trek? I want to say she was in Star
Trek. No, her husband was in Star Trek.
Oh, her husband was in Star Trek. That's right.
Yeah.
One of her crazier movies that she was in. Oh, the husband's in it. It's called Deadly Friend.
Oh, yeah. Those clips are awesome.
What a crazy premise. You found clips?
Yeah, you can find clips on YouTube. I couldn't find the movie to stream. I got to figure this out, how to find this stuff. I want to get it just because those clips are so amazing. It's like a horror movie.
It's
so campy.
Okay, so what we're talking about is an 86 movie that Anne Ramsey was in called Deadly Friend. And once again, she's cast as, and that was where the term Harridan came in. She's like this crotchety old lady. And what is it? She's like the next door neighbor.
Yeah. I don't even know what the plot of this movie is.
Yeah. So the plot of the movie, I don't remember the names. But it goes that there's this kid, he's a prodigy, he's super smart with computers, and he kind of builds his own robot companion named BB.
That's what I would name mine.
Yeah. And he gets, he kind of befriends another neighborhood kid, and he gets a crush on another neighborhood girl. And at some point, you know, throughout the movie, you see that BB's very protective of the prodigy. So his crush, Samantha, somehow ends up brain dead. And he gets a bright idea to install BB's chip inside her brain because BB got destroyed by Anne Ramsey's character. They were trying to pull like a knock-knock prank or something. And Anne Ramsey's character blasts BB with a shotgun and destroys his body. So the prodigy puts the chip in Samantha's brain-dead brain, which reanimates her. But now she's a murderer and she goes around the neighborhood killing everybody.
There's a scene, anybody can find this on YouTube, where what is it, a basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Where I guess the artificial robot Samantha throws a basketball at Anne Ramsey's head and her head just explodes like a watermelon.
No way, I didn't see the clip.
And it's like it's like that bad 80s horror, you know, where it big chunks of this, you know, it was awesome. Dude, her head just explodes.
No way. And so obviously if it's that type of graphic, it's like as the ball approaches, it's going to be an obvious like fake head, right? Is that what it looks
you get
like?
That like half a second switch,
cut,
you know, you got to watch it, bro.
Yeah. What a crazy premise for a movie.
Yeah. What a sidetrack to go on. You crazy kid.
I mean, that was one of her where she had a lot more dialogue. Another famous film she was in with a big name actor was Any Which Way You Can with Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that she was a credit in that movie, I got very excited, but her role is only like a 10 second.
Yeah. And it's another movie where she appears with her husband.
Yeah. They're just kind of driving by.
Yep.
And she says something and that was it.
So soon after the Goonies wrapped, after they stopped filming, Anne started experiencing a persistent sore throat, which you probably experience that all the time, Matthew.
Yeah, but for other reasons.
But she just ignored it. She was like, I mean, this is what I do all the time, too. I just ignore it, you know, and just let things get worse.
It'll go away. Mm-hmm.
So she ignored it, never went away. So finally, her husband forced her to go to the doctor. And sure enough, it was cancer. It was esophageal cancer, which was probably attributed to her smoking.
Right.
You know, also, I was thinking about this, too, because she's a lifelong smoker. Mm-hmm. That you would have thought that they would make like Moffatelli a smoker or something, because they think it would fit the character, you know?
Yeah,
but yeah, you never. She doesn't. I just thought that was, you know,
yeah,
would have been easy. Movies,
yeah, it wasn't. They weren't afraid to show smokers in that era.
Yeah, yeah. So she had esophageal cancer, and they gave her radiation treatments for quite a while. She was continuing to work during those treatments, but sadly, the treatments were not effective. So she had to have surgery on her, basically her throat and her mouth. Yeah. So it was on her 57th birthday in 1986 that they operated on her, and they removed part of her jaw and part of her tongue. Oh. And they reconstructed her tongue using muscle from her thigh into her mouth. That's what gave her the speech impediment, you know? They did that to where they stuck a feeding tube down her mouth. She had a feeding tube for 2 weeks. Like, that's got to be crazy to be like, I can understand having a feeding tube if you're like in a coma.
Yeah.
But like, imagine being conscious with a feeding tube for two weeks.
That'll tear you up even more.
And you can't talk. That's just got to be the worst feeling in the world.
Ugh. Yeah.
So she was freaked out. She thought she might never speak again. So they finally pulled the damn feeding tube out of her after 2 weeks. And the doctor said, say something. And she was like, what do you want me to say? So
Owen.
So no. At least she could talk. You know, after that, that's when she gets that classic slurred.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. And honestly, like pretty hard to understand speech.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch, and there's not that many interviews out there, at least that I couldn't find. I couldn't find hardly any interviews with her, which is pretty sad. Post surgery, you can tell when she's talking that she's really like choosing her words. Because I think she had a drooling problem as well, so she's probably just not trying to talk a lot. It was pretty taxing on her, you could tell. So yeah.
It is sad to watch her.
The whole surgery, the whole radiation treatment really messed her up. It messed up like her whole shoulder. She really gets a hunch after she went through all that. She was a little bit as Moffatelli, kind of see a little bit, but after the surgery, man, she's like, it really.
Yeah, it's very prominent.
Yeah.
It's very sad to see.
That condition helped her land her most critically acclaimed role as Mrs. Lift in Throw Mama from the Train in 1987, directed by Danny DeVito, his very first feature film directorial debut.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that was Danny DeVito?
I
didn't know it either.
Okay, good.
Starring Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Ramsey plays Mrs. Lift, Danny DeVito's character's mother.
The
whole plot basically revolves around Billy Crystal wants to kill his ex-wife. Danny DeVito wants to kill his overbearing mother. And his whole plan is, what if we just kill each other's person that
criss-cross.
Way? Yeah, crisscross, double cross, flippy flap. Cops can never trace it.
Yeah,
because we have no connection.
Alibi.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, she was nominated for Academy Award for that movie.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress. And she won another Saturn for that movie. And she beat out.
Now, how was that? Okay, now come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is this sci-fi, fantasy, or horror? I guess it could be considered horror. Maybe
murder,
like psychological horror.
Yeah, but this time around, the only notable actress that she beat was Lisa Bonet from. Was it what show was she on? The Cosbys.
You're not gonna lose a Saturn to the Cosbys.
No, Lisa Bonet. Where was she famous from? It was the Cosbys, right?
Yeah, but what was she in though?
Oh, I don't remember. I didn't.
It wasn't the Cosbys, because that's not fantasy, sci-fi, or horror. Well, I guess now it is horror.
Shit,
dude. What if the Saturn Awards was ahead of its time?
Oh, boy.
They knew what was going to happen, bro.
Yeah, they knew Dan was crazy.
Yeah, so she was nominated for an Academy Award Best Supporting Actress. She lost to Olympia Dukakis, that bitch, for Moonstruck.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I know.
Was that her last... That wasn't her last movie role, right? She had like three that came out posthumously.
She had four movies that came out after she passed away. Yeah.
Yeah,
but you know what sucks? Yeah. Scrooge, honestly, dude, you could hardly understand her. It's kind of, I guess I want to give props to whoever either cast her or I heard it was Scrooge that Bill Murray specifically wanted to work with her. But she was so hard to understand that she would say something and then like the characters around her would basically repeat what she just said.
Oh.
So that you could kind of understand what she was trying to get. That's her, like her voice had gotten like so bad at that point.
I mean, and also she played a homeless woman, like a crazy homeless woman. So
yeah,
that kind of fit what was going on with her as well.
Yeah, I thought, what sucks is that even after the success of The Goonies and then after her success of being nominated for Throw Mama, she kept just getting those same roles of the angry old lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, you would think that it would open more doors for her.
Yeah. She was, I think her last movie was in 89. Well, it was released in 89. It was called Homer and Eddie, starring John Belushi.
Yeah, she was like a convenience store clerk.
Yeah, an angry...
angry convenience store clerk.
Yeah, and you could totally... Yeah, as you said, her back hump was very pronounced in that
role. So, I don't know if you want to, but if you really want to see her, she guest starred in Alf. It was, I think it aired just a few months before she passed away.
6 months before, yeah.
She was in season two. I think it's episode 19 or 20. It's called, like, You're Nothing But a Hound Dog. She plays an angry old lady. And man, she was rough.
Yeah, she looked bad. Is she wearing a wig?
No, I think that's her hair. I know she has a funky
hairstyle, but it kind of looks like a wig because it looks like it moves forward on her
head. A little bit, yeah. And that's her husband again in the scene where her husband shows up at the door.
Oh.
And they're getting ready to get it on. Actually, at the beginning of this episode, Matthew, I played the clip from this scene where Anne Ramsey and her husband get sexy time on.
Yeah, that was something for an 80s show, like the way they talk about it.
But yeah, yet again, that's her appearing with her husband, which is pretty cool.
I just keep missing that it's her husband, I guess. I didn't, now that I picture his face, yeah.
That was a cool dude, you know? Like, he really stuck with her and like...
Yeah.
Through all her problems, thick and thin.
He died, what, 12? I think he died 12 years after
she died in 2000, I think, yeah.
Uh-huh. Or she died in 88.
Yeah. So ultimately... Very sadly, Anne Ramsey passed away on Thursday, August 11th, 1988.
Yeah, her cancer had come back, right?
Just 10 months before her beautiful baby boy Sloth passed away, John Matuszak. Oh,
really?
It's pretty crazy that John Matuszak and Anne Ramsey died within a year.
Oh, wow.
Of each other.
How sad.
It is pretty sad, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was only 59 years old.
Where was she put to rest? Back in Omaha, Nebraska, right?
So she is buried in a family plot on her mother's side. It's the Smith family plot, but she's in an unmarked grave.
Yeah, she's kind of at the feet of her mom, right?
Yeah, why is it unmarked? I don't understand why people do that.
I don't know. That might have been her wish.
I guess. I don't know.
But when you say unmarked, it's like totally unmarked. It's not like there's a mound of dirt or some kind of indication that there's somebody down there. It's just totally unmarked.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why you would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, her husband was still alive. So
it must have been her wish, right? You would think. Oh, dude.
I tried to find where her husband is buried,
mm-hmm.
and that dude's just lost to the wind.
Huh.
I couldn't find him anywhere. So who knows? Yeah. It's kind of sad. Poor Logan Ramsay. You know what's cool about Logan Ramsay? This is a total tangent. His dad is buried in Arlington. Logan Ramsay's father was actually, he ended up being a rear admiral in the Navy.
That would be your title if you're in the Navy. But it would be in quotation marks.
Oh, gosh, dude.
It would be in quotation marks, rear admiral.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
That's kind of a cool porn name.
Yeah, rear admiral.
If you're into that.
My porn name is that one, Scrooby Northam Wimshire, or whatever it was I mentioned earlier.
Anyways, yeah, his dad is kind of cool. His dad was, he was at Pearl Harbor. He was actually at the command center on Ford Island. He was a commander at the time, and he was the one that sounded the alarm at the outbreak of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And he was the one that sent out the historic message that said, like, air raid Pearl Harbor. This is not a drill.
Whoa.
So, like, that was Logan Ramsay's father. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so they helped, like, that family helped build America, damn it. You know,
you got pilgrims,
you got war heroes.
Man.
You know, that just makes her death and her, you know, her short life and the little recognition that she got all the more tragic, you know?
I feel like she would have been capable of so much more if she had been given more opportunities to really, she was really only given that angry old lady role chance. What's your favorite Moffatelli quote, Matthew?
Oh, boy. You know, you're going to think it's funny, but it's just something. It's a scene I always think of her. And I just love the scene. It's when they have just fallen down. Well, Data had just fallen down and got saved by his pincher's apparel. And the Fratellis are coming up on him. And she says, "Follow them, size fives."
Oh, yeah. I love that.
I love that.
I love it. Follow them, size fives.
You know, just for her to say, like, did she know they're size fives? Or is this something? Is that humor? Is that her humorous side? Yeah, I think it was just so well delivered.
I don't know. What's mine? They were like, "Tremors, I'll show you tremors." Dude, that sounded just like her, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it could have been a tremor, man.
I'll show you a tremor.
Oh. I'm going to go check the brother.
You guys can't see, but I'm wearing a beret right now. My head is really hot.
Yeah.
My wife always dresses up as Moffatelli mm-hmm. whenever we go out as the Goonies.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, same personality.
And your chunk.
My wife started listening to this.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast. Because my wife is such a nice lady.
She's amazing, dude. You're so lucky.
She is so beautiful and wonderful.
I was going to say she's more like Andy, but that'd be really creepy.
Eech.
Yeah, you don't want to say that.
No, she's more like Steph. She's a big slut. Yeah. Well, thank you, Anne Ramsay, for... Yeah, man, we keep doing these retrospectives.
And now retrospective.
People that have passed away, and it's mm-hmm. pretty depressing, you know?
Well, that was the last one. Don't Who else died
nobody.
From?
Don't jinx nobody. Richard Donner passed away. But yeah, man, I think without her, the Goonies would, you know, nobody else could play Moffatelli.
No,
just like we said with John Matuszak, no one could play that role.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramsay is Moffatelli. You can't swap her out for anybody.
Mm-mm.
Such an amazing job. Gotta pour one out here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not on the computer. All right. If you guys have made it this far, you know what time it is.
Yep.
It's time to take the Goonies oath.
Time for some oathage.
So raise your right hand and follow along with us. Matthew, lead the way.
Okay. I will never betray my Goondock friends.
We will stick together until the whole world ends.
Through heaven and hell and nuclear war.
Good pals like us will stick like tar.
In the city, or the country, or the forest, or the boonies.
I am proudly declared a fellow Goonie.
Now that you're a Goonie, it doesn't automatically mean that you have to have a dislike for Anne Ramsay because she was Moffatelli. Just bear in mind that she was a sweet old lady.
I mean, she could have ran that. She could have ran that sword through Andy, but she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, and she could have cut off Matt's tongue.
But oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She could have really effed up Data.
Yeah. But she didn't, because she had...
She didn't.
You know, she just wanted the kids out of the way. She didn't want to really hurt anybody.
At the end of the day, she gave birth to Sloth.
Yeah.
And maybe she raised him the best she could.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
I mean, when you're a criminal on the lam.
She went to the zoo to buy chains for her baby boy, which is pretty messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe
she, maybe she the got the good chains. She got the best chains there.
Yeah. All right, Matt. Another one down. Another one down the tubes. Ugh, the drain. Oh.
Another one in the pipe. 5x5.
Another one. Another one bites the dust.
Another notch in the belt. No.
Another notch on the bed post.
Post. Yeah.
Another.
Okay.
All right. All right, guys. Join us next time.
Mm-hmm.
On Sloth Love Chunk, when we discuss some more whatever it is about the Goonies that we love.
Oh, which is everything.
All right. Bye. You gotta hurry up. All right, man. We'll see you guys soon. Dude, we're gonna have crazy Ann Ramsey dreams tonight.
Oh,
I hope. Do you think they're gonna be like she's yelling at us dreams, or gonna be sexy dreams?
I hope it's either one.
I don't really want to have sexy dreams. Okay. Really mess up. Peace.